air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Donegal County Councillor Brian Carr has paid tribute to those involved in the rescue of himself, his son and his wife's niece from the water off Tremore Beach last Friday, saying thanks to them, all three are alive today. The Donegal Fire Service is currently dealing with a fire in Donegal Town. Their serious concern, overnight water conservation measures may need to be implemented in the Fulcara area. And Donegal County Council received 59 commencement notices for new homes last month. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Mark Gallagher at about 5:15, followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. First news this evening, Donegal County Councillor Brian Carr has paid tribute to those involved in the rescue of himself, his son and his wife's niece from the water off Tremore Beach last Friday, saying thanks to them, all three are alive today. He says surfers Matthew Clerken, Dalta Bracken, Turlough McDade and Joe Heron were the right people in the right place at the right time. Tom Douglas reports.
On Friday afternoon, Councillor Brian Carr entered the water after two children began to drift out to sea, but the strong current pulled all three of them out. In a social media post, he says that eventually one of the surfers made their way to the children with a surfboard and moments later felt himself being brought back to shore. He says Matthew, Dulta and Turlough are true heroes and were in the right place at exactly the right time. And because of that, all three, Councillor Carr says, are here today. He's described the three young men's courage as nothing short of extraordinary. Councillor Carr was airlifted from the scene to Letterkenny University Hospital, where he continues to recover. He says he will do everything to ensure the bravery and heroism of Matthew, Dulta and Turlough is recognised. The Glenties councillor has also paid tribute to the emergency and rescue services.
The Donegal Fire Service is currently dealing with a fire in Donegal Town. The blaze is understood to have broken out in the bathrooms of a premises on Bridge Street at around 3 o'clock this afternoon. Gardaí are also on the scene. No further details are known at this time. A march will take place this Saturday in Dublin in memory of the late Harvey Morrison. The 9-year-old died at the end of last month following a short illness. He had waited years for scoliosis surgery. His parents say the demonstration is a peaceful march for justice for Harvey and for all the children who are waiting too long to access healthcare. Paul Murphy from People Before Profit says the wishes of his parents will be respected at the march.
Yes, absolutely. So we of course, completely respect in every way the wishes of Stephen and Gillian. I think, you know, this is political. It's not party political. It's political in terms of the way that the state, the way that CHI and the way the government has failed Harvey tragically, but has failed also hundreds of other children.
Their serious concern, overnight water conservation measures may need to be implemented in the Fulcara area. Following an overnight computer issue in the Ardsbeg pumping station, water supply issues were experienced for a time today in the Fulcara and Dunmore areas. Councillor Michael McLafferty believes restrictions imposed in other areas could soon be seen in Fulcara and Gortahawk.
They're working overnight in the pump house in Ardsbeg, and it's technology computer related, some sort of upgrade on the computer system, and then unfortunately the computer system crashed, just obviously led to more problems then. It's just a difficult time for all, and clearly back to the situation again, the supply of water is becoming an issue all around Donegal. The reservoirs are not keeping up with demand. There's not that much rainfall going down with the dry weather and everything else to give anything a chance to get replenished. That's why you have your overnight restrictions down Downing's, Mufford, that area, elsewhere. We will probably see that as well here too in the Fulcara area. I think it's fair to say that. And the next coming nights could end up that way as well, where the water will go off. But this morning, to be fair to the crew, as always, they are doing it. The water crew, the men on the ground, as always, the workers, they're doing their best to try and get this resolved.
It does seem in these cases that very often what's happening is effectively Ishgairn are reacting to issues. They're reacting, they're firefighting, they're trying to fix things. It seems that what we haven't had as of yet is a real look at the whole of that supply around Clonmacnoise to see what's needed to actually get it to the point where we don't have these regular sporadic incidents, all of which are going to continue adding up.
There needs to be a whole revamp of a whole new plan at the moment now for the Clonmacnoise area. for example, what has been done there to monitor what they're trying to do. They're probably working off, as I said themselves, a 10, 11-year-old plan as such, not a new building and all that kind of stuff. There's more demand, more people have moved in, there's more demand on the water. The sewage plant as well is big one, obviously. Same as Dunfanaghy, same as Cresta there. All those three towns need upgrades.
The EU insists it has agreed a more favourable trade deal with the US than other countries. Both sides to the deal finally issued a joint statement today on the agreement reached late last month. It sets a ceiling of 15% tariffs on the pharma and semiconductor sectors and carve-outs for certain key industries. EU Trade Commissioner Maro Sefcovic says it's a serious strategic deal.
15% all-inclusive tariff cap for the European Union. This is the most favourable trade deal the US has extended to any partner. A wide range of sectors, including strategic industries such as cars, pharmaceuticals, semiconductors and lumber, will benefit from this cap.
Well, Taoiseach Micheál Martin says the joint statement provides a certain degree of certainty and predictability, which is so important for business and investment decisions. He says given the scale of the pharma and semiconductor sectors in Ireland, it's important this statement sets out the 15% tariff ceiling applying to those sectors. Gardaí and Donegal have reiterated their appeal to motorists to never take unnecessary and dangerous risks on the roads. It follows the detection of an unaccompanied learner driver at a checkpoint in the Letterkenny area last night who tested positive for cocaine. The Letterkenny Roads Policing Unit say the driver was uninsured and also their tax had expired by 843 days. The driver was arrested, the car seized and a fixed charge penalty notice issued. Gardaí say court proceedings will follow. There are hopes that 17 houses at Loch Fearn Heights in Milford will be available to people on the council's waiting list later this year. The Tyrconnell Tribune reporting today says that the houses are being bought by Donegal County Council. A previous offer from the council had been rescinded following a rise in costs. Councillor Liam Blaney told Greg Hughes earlier on the 9 to noon show that he believes it is an approved housing body which is about to buy the houses, and while he would prefer them to be in council ownership, the most important thing he says is that they become available to people on the housing waiting list.
It's very welcome to hear that there's movement as far as the houses is concerned. Now, as far as I'm aware, it's a housing body that is buying, purchasing the houses. And the housing body then takes the applicants off the Donegal County Council social housing list. And that's the way that the houses is allocated.
So you're saying it's not...
through the housing body, not through Donegal County Council.
OK, so it's a housing body that's purchased them now and they make them available to the council.
I'm not saying they're purchased, Greg. There's negotiations ongoing and hopefully it will lead to a successful conclusion. Personally, I'd rather see the council owning the houses and we get the rent from them. When they go to the housing bodies, the council doesn't get any rent from them. That aside, I think it's very good news that there is negotiations taking place as far as I'm concerned. I have been talking to the developer and he's fairly positive about it as well. And it's not just this site and the county. There have been a number of other sites in the county as well, and hopefully there's movement taking place in them as well, and that we will be successful and get them available to the applicants in the council social housing list as well.
Foreign ministers from across the world, including Ireland, are strongly condemning Israeli plans to expand settlements on Palestinian land east of Jerusalem. One Israeli minister says they are designed to bury the idea of a Palestinian state. The United States is not among the countries which issued the joint statement of condemnation today. Settlements are illegal under international law, and there are concerns if they are built, they will split the West Bank, making a state impossible. The British government summoned the Israeli ambassador to the UK Foreign Office over the latest plans. Donegal County Council received 59 commencement notices for new homes last month. That's a 37% increase on the previous month. However, according to latest figures from the Department of Housing, to date in 2025, the number of notices received by the council is down 42% when compared to the same period last year. Nationally, just over 7,300 housing commencement notices have been issued in the first 7 months of the year. 1,059 were launched in July alone. Services provided by the Irish Coast Guard are getting a major boost today. A new aviation service is being launched in Shannon with new search and rescue helicopters and fixed-wing planes. Minister of State Sean Canney is marking the expansion with a special ceremony at Shannon Airport. He says the plans are part of a landmark enhancement to the overall capability of the service.
They will have the capacity over land and sea, and they will have the ability to direct this air asset to the casualties. They also provide enhanced aircraft mission management and communication systems, which is very important, and has the capacity also to deploy life rafts. They give top cover to support the helicopters engaging in the long-range medical evacuations, and also they provide patient transfer support to the HSE.
New protocols have been put in place at a residential centre for people with intellectual disabilities in Letterkenny. It follows a HICWA inspection at Fiona House, during which two non-compliances were identified. One was in relation to the notification of incidents and the other in the area of protection. There were six residents at the centre, which is operated by Praxis Care, at the time of the inspection. More details and a link to the full report are available on our website, highlandradio.com. People in Donegal are being encouraged to consider installing solar panels, with an expert saying the county is very well suited for the production of solar energy, with people having the opportunity to sell energy back to the grid. New research from Bord Gáis Energy shows that 34% of people believe incorrectly that solar panels only generate electricity when the sun is shining. They say the company says while sunshine may help, modern solar systems are designed to operate efficiently even on cloudy or rainy days. Valerie Hand is retrofit manager with Bord Gáis Energy. She says in some respects, Donegal is better placed than bigger cities for solar generation.
There is a misconception that solar needs masses and masses of sunshine, and that isn't how solar panels work. Solar panels just need light, and there's plenty of light, I think, where an awful lot of your listeners are based. And also, it does depend on the type of roof and the housing stock. And because there are less suburban areas in the northwest, so many people who live up there and so much of the housing stock is actually standalone. They have these long, wide, flat roofs that are absolutely ideal for installing quite large solar panel arrays. I think people in the northwest could definitely benefit much more from solar installations than people who would be slightly overshadowed in more suburban areas.
And one of the things a lot of people don't realise is it can actually ultimately earn you money, because there is a facility if you're generating enough power locally that you can sell some of it back into the grid.
Absolutely. Apart from making the 50 to 70% savings on your bi-monthly bills that come in, there's also an additional saving to be made on that energy spend where you're selling back to the grid. And we have done surveys and we have a lot of figures on this information. The average property in Ireland is selling back about €10.50 per week to the grid. So over the course of the 8 weeks or 2 months of your bill, that is a significant discount when you add that up over a year.
Ordering your club gear is effortless with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the Northwest's leading supplier for GAA clubs, at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's time now for all the latest in sport with Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with soccer. Shamrock Rovers and Shelburne are both in first leg action in the Europa Conference League playoff round this evening. Shelburne are at home to Irish Premiership side Linfield at Tolka Park. These two sides already met back in July in the Champions League qualifying stage, with the Dubliners coming out on top 2-1 on aggregate. Burt native Mark Coyle, the Shells captain, says the team have a great opportunity to do something big for the club.
There's obviously been a few highs and a few lows with it, but I think overall it's been one that we've enjoyed, and it's one that we want to continue. I think the games come that fast, you don't really have time to think about your emotions in that sense. You're just really focused on the next game, and as I said there, the games are coming so quick, you don't really have time to think about too much. But for us now, we're just really looking forward to tomorrow night, and we know we have a chance to do something good and great for the club, so that's where our focus lies.
Kickoff is at 7:45 this evening, and Shamrock Rovers take on Portugal's Santa Clara in the Azores from 8. Crystal Palace also play at 8. They go up against Fredrikstad of Norway at Selhurst Park. Liverpool head coach Arne Slot has confirmed they'll be without Jeremy Frimpong until at least next month due to injury. The fullback was taken off an hour into their Premier League opener against Bournemouth at Anfield last week. Slot says he was struggling with a hamstring issue.
Medical team was completely right about Jeremy to tell me that I had to take him off, because he's out till the end of the international break.
In transfer news, Arsenal have reportedly agreed a deal to sign England international Eberechi Eze. A total fee of €78 million was understood to have been agreed with Crystal Palace as the Gunners look set to beat rivals Tottenham in the race to sign the 27-year-old. Bournemouth have paid almost €28 million to bring Moroccan midfielder Amine Adli to the club from Bayer Leverkusen, and Leeds have completed the signing of forward Noah Okafor from AC Milan in a deal worth up to €20 million. Chelsea manager Enzo Maresca says striker Nicholas Jackson will be left out of tomorrow's Premier League game against West Ham despite being back from suspension. He missed the season opener against Crystal Palace because of a red card he received at the end of the last campaign. Jackson is expected to leave Stamford Bridge after Maresca added Liam Delap and João Pedro to his squad this summer.
He is available, but he is not going to be part of the squad because, as we already said, we have two strikers, we have two players in that position, and also something can happen before the window transfer close.
In golf, the FedEx Cup reaches its climax this week with the season-ending Tour Championship just getting underway later today in Atlanta. Scottie Scheffler leads the way at the top of the rankings. He plays alongside Rory McIlroy from 7 o'clock this evening. Shane Lowry has just teed off in his opening round. Conor Purcell is in action on day one of the British Masters. The Dublin golfer is level par midway through his opening round at the Belfry. Matthias Schwab is the new leader on 7-under. In Gaelic games, the Donegal Masters play Sligo this evening in the Dr. Mick Loftus All-Ireland semi-final. That match is at the Sligo Centre of Excellence and throws in at 7:30. Finally, looking ahead to the score programme this evening, former Finn Harps captain Gavin Cullen takes a look at tomorrow's League of Ireland games for Finn Harps and Derry City. Gavin will also run his eye over the FAI Cup quarter-final draw and the start of the Inishowen Football League season. Callum Devine will recap his Ulster Rally and Irish Tarmac Championship success. Plus, Donegal jockey Dylan Brown McMonagle will come on to tell us about his incredible 5 wins last Saturday and how his year has been panning out so far. That's all from me for now, but I'll be back with a score between 7 and 8. Michaela.
Thanks, Mark. For weather now, dry this evening with a mix of cloud and sunny spells. Lowest temperatures tonight of 10 to 14 degrees. The closing headlines this evening. Donegal County Councillor Brian Carr has paid tribute to those involved in the rescue of himself, his son and his wife's niece from the water off Tremor Beach last Friday, saying thanks to them, all three are alive today. He says surfers Matthew Clerken, Dalta Bracken and Turlock McDade were the right people in the right place at the right time. The Donegal Fire Service is currently dealing with a fire in Donegal Town. The blaze is understood to have broken out in the bathrooms of premises on Bridge Street at around 3 o'clock this afternoon. There is serious concern overnight water conservation measures may need to be implemented in the Falkara area. Following an overnight computer issue in the Ards Bay pumping station, water supply issues were experienced for a time today in the Falkara and Dunmore areas. And people in Donegal are being encouraged to consider installing solar panels, with an expert saying the county is very well suited for the production of solar energy, with people having the opportunity to sell energy back to the grid. New research from Borgash Energy shows that 34% of people believe incorrectly that solar panels only generate electricity when the sun is shining. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Good evening.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit Unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Well, this week I thought it would be timely to get an overview on how the US tariffs are impacting the beef trade and how tariffs elsewhere can have a knock-on effect and filter through to Donegal in what is, of course, a global market. To discuss this further and also how higher beef prices are leading to some changing consumer patterns and how an Irish food company is looking at expansion in New Zealand, I've been speaking with Tyrone native Phelim O'Neill, markets analyst with the Irish Farmers Journal. Phelan, many thanks for joining us. We're all well aware of the US tariffs. At least we're aware of the headlines, but behind what's actually going on from a Donegal and an Irish perspective, looking at the beef sector, is the Irish farmer going to come out of it relatively well compared to some of the other big beef producing nations, the likes of Brazil?
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Chris. Relative to what others are experiencing, we're okay. I suppose from a beef and sheep point of view, the United States doesn't really matter to Ireland and Irish exports because we send so little there. Our main market is Britain, followed by continental Europe, and then maybe somewhere between 5 and 10%. We'll go into wider global markets, more so Asia than North America. In fact, Canada would be a much more significant market now than the United States in terms of volume. But that said, the concern from an Irish point of view has to be not the direct effect of this, it's what the indirect effect of it might be. And that's something that we'll only find out with the passage of time. And the reason for that is the United States was a rapidly growing market for Brazilian beef exports. They took 200,000 tonnes of beef last year. That was expected to nearly double this year. But since the 6th of August, they have been hit with a tariff. They'd been operating with a tariff of 26.5% up to that point. But President Trump decided he was going to hit them with a further 50%. So now it's a 76.5% tariff. And basically, that makes it commercially not viable for Brazilian exporters to go to the United States. So the question then you have to ask, what happens to that 400,000 tonnes of beef that would have been earmarked for there in 2025? Well, I suppose half has gone there, so we're looking at home for 200,000. And, you know, after China, up until now and over the past decade, has been expanding rapidly, and they've basically taken all the extra production that Brazil's had. But they've levelled off in the last year or two. And the reality is, after that, the next biggest importer of beef is the European Union. And that brings the European market very much back into play again for Brazil. And that's where I would have a concern from the point of view of Irish farmers and how it might hit the local beef producers, not so much the sheep producers, because Brazil doesn't really export any sheep meat.
Yeah, and where are we in relation to the whole Mercosur deal at the moment?
Well, that's one that's a very good debating point, and it'll become even more so now, I think, as we get to the autumn. I would have covered this in the run-up to the break in Brussels. It essentially closes down for the month of August, and they have started the process of the ratification. It was expected that it would be cleared by the heads of state and voted on by them. Probably September, October was being thought about, and then it would go into the Parliament. And the reality is, until the Parliament will ultimately decide, I expect, because the trade aspect of it, I don't think that'll come back to member states for a vote. But the reality is the approval process is now underway, and you would expect that that will take a year to 18 months from that point on. We could expect that Brazil then would access a further 99,000 tonnes of beef quota at a preferential tariff rate.
Now, prices have been good for Donegal beef farmers in recent times, but interesting to note that there's been a drop in the Irish share of UK beef imports, and British consumers are buying less beef as prices rise. So if the price keeps staying fairly high, is that filtering through to the supermarket? Are people even going to change the cuts that they buy?
Yes, there's two things that consumers do by way of reaction when they feel that a product has got more expensive than they would want it to spend on it. One is that they trade down, so maybe instead of they'll buy less steak perhaps and more mince, they'll buy cheaper cuts of beef. And I suppose even more worrying, and you reference the Donegal beef farmers and sheep farmers, this applies equally, of course, to each of the other counties in the Republic of Ireland as well. The worry from an overall Irish perspective is that there's two things happens here, that they will switch to another product. We're thinking cheaper chicken or pig meat. And the other option then is that they will actually look towards importing more from outside of Ireland and the UK. And, you know, the supermarkets would have broken that bond, if you like, back in May when they would have trialled a range of South American product. But we can see that Australia and New Zealand have been growing their market share in the UK from a very, very low base, admittedly. But the reality is that they are cheaper suppliers. And the other option is, instead of switching, the supermarket switching and promoting pork and chicken more, the other option that they have then is to increase their imported allocation. And I suppose the timing as well, there is, and they will justify it by saying, look, the reality is Irish beef production is down this year fairly substantially. So is UK beef production. And therefore, you know, they have to look at alternative supplies. And it doesn't matter almost what the price is, there is only so much beef that's available within the specification in both the UK and Ireland.
And what is the immediate outlook for the beef sector for the next couple of months? Are prices going to stay at the current sort of levels?
Well, it would be good if we could lock in somewhere around present levels. It'll really come down if cattle stay as tight as they have been over recent weeks. Certainly we'll find that factories are very, very anxious for them. I know certainly our beef editor is fairly positive in his outlook in the short and medium term as to where prices will go. But I think the bottom line is, Chris, the lesson of 2025 so far is that there's been a step to increase in the price of beef that farmers are being paid, a long overdue increase. I don't think you will see us go back anywhere near where it had been before.
And finally and briefly, Phelim, just while we have you on, Dawn Meats has moved to take control of a farming-owned group in New Zealand. So just to explain to our listeners, what's going on there?
That's right, Chris. Dawn have spread their wings. They have in recent years. They've been quite active overseas. They'd acquired the Dunbia Group, which was owned by the Dobson family. It originally started off life in Dungannon in County Tyrone, but they have grown to several factories across the all the countries that make up the UK, England, Scotland, Wales. And Dawn also previously had a joint venture with a French cooperative, which they exited 2 years ago. And now they've ventured into New Zealand. They're the preferred bidder for a controlling stake in the Alliance Group. They're, as you said there yourself, Chris, they're a farmer-owned cooperative. They've been in a loss-making situation this last couple of years, and they do need an injection of capital. Dawn has been identified as the preferred bidder. And if this is ratified by the shareholders, and that's expected, that vote's expected in October, I think. And if that comes to pass, then it'll mean that Dawn effectively will have the control of six New Zealand factories, their major sheep and beef producers between them. And, you know, from a Dawn point of view, I can see how that will work. They will have access to UK and European markets and marketing expertise, as well as considerable expertise in running beef factories successfully and sheep processing factories, both in Ireland and the UK. And the other thing is, too, of course, New Zealand factories have very good access and customer contacts in North America and in Asian markets. And you would possibly see then that Dawn might use that to their advantage for their Irish and UK exports as well. So I think from a Dawn point of view, it sounds like a deal that makes good sense.
And that was Phelim O'Neill, markets analyst with the Irish Farmers Journal. And finally, a reminder that the Donegal Texel Breeders Premier Show is on this Saturday, August the 23rd at Rafo Mart. The show starts at 10 o'clock and the sale is at 1 o'clock. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
The obituary notice is for this Thursday evening, August the 21st. The death has taken place of John G. Kelly, Bahai House, Old Town Letterkenny and formerly of New Mills. John is reposing at the home of his sister-in-law, Bridget Carol Gallagher, Greenhill, Letterkenny. Leaving there on Saturday morning, going to Lakeland's crematorium for private cremation at 1 o'clock. Family time, please, from 9 o'clock until 12 noon both days, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if so desired, to the Irish Kidney Association, Kev Marshall McGowan, Funeral Director, or any family member. The celebration of John's life at Lakeland's crematorium can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Daniel Dan Breslin, Gortnesky, Burnfoot. His remains are reposing at his home. Removal from there on Saturday morning at 10:15 to St Murray's Church Fawn for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. The death has occurred of Eddie Patrick McGuinness, Roisin, Tyrone, Killybegs, reposing at his residence until 9 o'clock tonight and again tomorrow from 11 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Removal on Saturday morning at 10:30 to St Mary of the Visitation Church, Killybegs, for 11 o'clock funeral mass with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Mass will be streamed on mcn.live. Family flowers only, donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or McBurtie funeral directors. There will be a one-way traffic system in place during wake hours, entering from the Arctic side and exiting through Glenlee. The death has taken place of Thomas James Spratt, 288 Bomney Cottages, Letterkenny, and formerly of Newcastle upon Tyne. Thomas will repose at Letterkenny Funeral Home this evening from 6:30 until 9:30. Cremation to follow in Lakeland's Crematorium Cavan. The death has taken place of Hugh Francis Chauvelin, Ballykilduff, Portnoy, reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning to St Connell's Church Kilcliny for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Ross Beg Downstrands, care of the aged, care of any family member. Hugh Francis's Mass will be streamed live on Chauvelin's Funeral Home Facebook page. There will be a one-way system in operation to the wake with entry at Kilcliny Chapel and exit at Cluny. And the death has occurred of Connor Porter, Town Parks Raphoe. Connor is reposing at his late residence until 9 o'clock tonight. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30, travelling to St Junan's Church Raphoe for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. The Mass may be viewed online via Kelly's Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Mary's Means and Brindley Manor Residence Fund, care of any family member or Kelly's Funeral Directors. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.